God a hand clap of praise. Come on, we can do better than that. Amen, amen, amen. I know we few in numbers today, but God said he don't need a whole lot of people to do nothing. Amen. I guess people are recovering either from the excitement from the game last night, or they're running from the heat in here, one of the two. Amen. Amen. But however, we thank you all for you all who chose to press out. God is always impressed when we go the extra yard. Amen. 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 Let us bow our heads. Our Father God, we come now to you this morning to say thank you for every opportunity we have to sit in your sanctuary, for every opportunity we have to sit at your presence, because it's the best place that we can be. No matter where we are mentally, you can help us. No matter where we are spiritually, you can feed us. No matter where we are physically, you can heal us. All we need to do is just get in your presence. And we pray that while we're here, you share all of that with us today. Allow your power to fall afresh upon us, that it give us a new rejuvenated spirit, that we continue to run on this battlefield in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray. Let our hearts say amen. 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 We now have our opening hymn, hymn 371.
What a peace is mine, leading all the ever. Good morning, church. Ushers, Daryl, if the college students arrive while I'm speaking, please allow them to enter. Any others that might come in, and good morning. It is truly a wonderful blessing for each of us to be here today. Special greetings are in order to each of you as we celebrate the love of God on this fifth Sunday in September, the 19th Sunday after Pentecost. It is my pleasure at this time, as I do every Sunday when we're doing the announcements, to just pause for a minute and acknowledge those that come back to be with us time after time to worship with us. And this Sunday is very, very special for me, as many of us, and especially Roosevelt, I'm counting you in, but my line sister, George and I, which I've shared with you all several times over, we pledged together Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated 54 years ago. And she was number 9 on the line. It was only 9, and she was 9, and I was number 1. All right, church. But where I'm going with this is the bookends. Where I'm going with this, you know that she was in a severe car accident with Representative Barbara Boyd, and she is still the designated driver for Representative Boyd, and they have been through. It has taken a moment, and God has healed them and touched them and stayed with them. And it is a testimony to us as to what he can do when we belong to him. It is a testimony. Georgia, I'm going to ask, because your voice is so soft, if you will come forward this morning and greet the church. And be glad, girl, you can get up and come up here and greet us.
I'm a walker to a king. Here I am. And I thank God for that. And I thank you all for your prayers that were extended on my behalf, as well as Dr. Boyd. It was a Thursday before Mother's Day, and never will forget that, traveling Highway 21 headed to Anniston. And all of a sudden, something just came out. There was a drunk driver driving on the wrong side of the road, so that was two things right there wrong. Hit us. And from that point, all I can remember saying was, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. They said I was singing it, and I don't sing. So. But they said that I was. But I knew I was saying it because I felt it. And from that time, you know, God has his angels in place.
Amen.
On Highway 21, there were two nurses on their way to work at Anniston Regional. Saw the impact of the car, turned around and came back. And from that point, they had taken care of us even before the paramedics got there. So that's Jesus.
Amen.
And his protection. Whew, don't get me started this morning. And I'm so thankful for being able to stand here at this mic and greet you all this morning and say thank you for what you've done for me. I've seen phone calls, donations, love. And it's just looking at you. This is my second home.
Amen.
I've already greeted my pastor at Russia Springs District, Hallelujah, Alabama. So I told him I wouldn't be there this Sunday because I had to come down here. Then I'd be. So just want to thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak. I hope my voice carried loud enough so you can hear me. And you don't have to ask Roosevelt how Georgia's doing now, because you can see for yourself.
George, you made my day. Nothing else happens today, you made my day. Did you all hear from her from the wheelchair? Did you all hear her from the wheelchair to the walker to the cane, and then now here today? What a blessing. Nobody but God, church. I would be remiss in my duties if I did not ask if there are others visiting us today. Now, we know where those hornets are, and they're not back yet. That's okay. But do we have others visiting with us this morning? Don't be shy about it. If you brought a friend with you to church today, come on and tell us about your friend. All right, friend, stand up so we can see you. And her name is and you're beautiful. You plan to come back again? Good. You hang with her. She's a good girl. Thank you for bringing your friend to church with you today. That's what I'm talking about. We say everybody, each one bring one. So you just keep on bringing them up in here, Chloe. Just bring them and bring them beautiful like you. We love it. Thank you for being with us today. Church, I want you to continue to pray for all of our sick and shut-in members. I sent a list out and I included Florette Singfield, Vita Porterfield. I even went on back down a little bit more because I'm calling them now to check on them before I release this. Janice Leno, one of our church members who always sit over here to my right in the back where Evelyn is and a little bit back past that, her husband has been sick for quite some time. His name is Christopher. And I sent that out this time so that we could add him to our prayer list because we certainly want to pray for everyone and everyone that needs prayer. So I'm going to continue to send that out to you all. A call Zoom meeting is scheduled for tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock p.m. for all members of the executive board. Now, I'm going to send out a Zoom link this afternoon and the agenda for this meeting that we're going to have tomorrow night. Business of importance. I need everyone on the Zoom tomorrow night, so save the time. It is at 6 o'clock, and if you've seen your email, I've already acknowledged and sent this out to you. I just need you to come on tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock. Save the date, church. We're asking you to save the date of Harvest Sunday, which is scheduled for October the 20th. Now, last Sunday, I stood here and told y'all that the program was going to be at 3 o'clock. You're going to really like this. The program's going to be at 2 o'clock. So we're going to come in here on the 20th. We're going to get out of church, and then we're going to get ready. And we're going to have a wonderful harvest program at 2 o'clock p.m., so that time has changed. Leaders' meeting will be rescheduled. Pastor's going to let me know when we're rescheduling leaders' meeting because we're fired up and ready to go with our sneakers on, ready to go. So we're going to let you know when we're rescheduling that. Soon and very soon, after we reschedule leaders' meeting and I have an executive board meeting, we're going to have a church meeting. So everyone in the church will be apprised of what's going on, know about our safety program, and everything that we're going to present to you. It's coming soon. Felix Parker has asked for a moment.
Church, this is your official announcement. On February 16th, 2025, the Laymans will be having our Black History program. I'm not going to tell you who the speaker is. Okay, I can? The speaker is going to be Dr. Quinn Ross, president of Alabama State University, and we're going to be honoring all 13 HBCUs and honoring their legacy. So please, it's going to be February 16th. That's a special day to me because that's my birthday. It's going to be at 3 o'clock, and church, come early. Come early, please. We are expecting a sellout crowd. Thank y'all. Thank you for your time. I believe that the Layman's Black History Program is a solemn program, and it has a semi-formal dress code.
Well, let me say this. When you wearing glitter and it's up under a blazer, that's semi-formal. Layman's, we're so proud of you that you are already stepping out for 2025, and that's exactly what you've got to do. You've got to plan. Everybody mark your calendars for February the 16th. I'm going to send this out, and Lord, I can't wait to the HBCUs come up in here. This is just going to be simply outstanding and wonderful. Praise God for our men of our church and what he's doing with them. I think Daryl Sinkfield would like to come forward as well.
Yeah, last Sunday, Pastor and I had a conversation about mission and outreach, and we have been just so blessed. When you've been blessed, we got to bless others. And we came together and had a conversation about blessing our ASU college students. I don't know if you noticed, but for many Sundays, our college students have been coming and they've been worshiping. And Moderator B and I have been talking about a fifth Sunday luncheon, a fourth Sunday luncheon, but we couldn't wait for the next fifth Sunday. So I told Pastor we want to honor our college students with a $25 gift card for mission outreach, where they can go get a little something to eat today. So come on up. Let's get my you here today. I want you to take the ones back that couldn't make it today, but we want to thank you because, you know, we know it's hard out there and you guys have been coming and we want to try to feed you, but it's not like going to get what you want for yourself. So I think it was five of y'all total, right? So I'm gonna trust you with these. To,
you said he's gonna give it to
Well, they'll tell us next Sunday if we didn't. So, but we know. But we just want to show our appreciation. There you go, Pastor.
I want to say thank y'all for allowing me to come into y'all church, welcoming vibes. I'm really blessed to be here, and I just want to continue to say thank you, guys. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Good
Daryl, there's an old saying, if you build it, they'll come. You better get them cheering their money, because they coming next Sunday. And when they're going to hear that they got $25, so we're going to depend on you to spread the word. Isn't God good, church? Let's give God a praise, a clap of praise. Church, I'm going to be seated in just a second. I am in communication with the United Church of Christ for more reasons than one right now, as we are preparing for the installation service of our dear pastor that we've selected to pastor this church. But in a conversation that I had, I want to share something with you all quickly. And I told them that I had not mentioned this to you all, so I needed to do this today. We are made aware that COVID is on the rise again. It's in big settings now because we're in football stadiums, we're at parties, we're doing everything. And so we're reminded to be as careful as possible. So church, you're reminded today to stay home if you don't feel well, if you have a cough, or if you have a fever. Stay home. We'll understand that. If you need to start back wearing your mask, please do so. And if you're comfortable with not having it, or if you need it to protect yourself and others, the United Church of Christ is simply saying, protect yourself. And I wanted to share that with everybody today. Birthdays and anniversaries. The Grimes are not here today because they're with Najure. That's Jacqueline's great-grandson who's celebrating his first birthday today. So they're saying happy birthday to Najure. Belinda Stanley, it's not in your bulletins, but I understand that you're celebrating your birthday on the 3rd. Am I correct? Happy birthday, Belinda Stanley. You want to play happy birthday to yourself? Okay. Reginald Miller. Now I got the right Regis with the right month. Reggie Miller, you're celebrating on the 4th. Am I correct? It's not in the bulletin, but happy birthday, Reggie. And many, many more. And many, many more. And Felicia Gamble, we're going to warm up for you for next Sunday, but I hear you celebrating on the 6th. It's not in the bulletin. But happy birthday, Felicia. And we'll honor you next Sunday on the 6th as well. So we're saying happy birthday to all of you. We want you to have a wonderful week and just be blessed. Now, church, I'm actually finished. I promise you that I'm finished. But I got to give you a thought for the week. I think you're going to like this one. So I want everybody to get this one. Church, I want you to work every day as hard as you can, while you can, for as long as you can. Church, I'm not talking about me working for GMC, and I'm not talking about you working wherever you're working right now. You want to know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about working for the Lord. You better work hard and long for the Lord, for there will come a day when you will not be able to work. Church, have a wonderful week.
In our hymn book, page 373, Standing on the Promises.
Our Father God, we come to you this morning, Master, to say thank you for being our God. Thank you for considering us so, that you sent your only begotten Son to die for sinners like us. We're so thankful, Master, because you're so kind, that you are God who even pray for your own people. Master, in your word, you said you pray that Peter's faith would not fail him. For you knew that the devil desired to sip him as wheat. We come this morning, Master, thanking you because we know that you're praying for us right now. For many of us, Master, are entangled with the world's issues. And many of us have things on our shoulders that are very heavy. We have things on our mind that are very heavy. We have things in our hearts that are very heavy. And Master, we know that you can speak just a word and everything will be all right. And so we come this morning to say thank you for being such a considerate God, to being such a kind God, for being such an on-time God. We come to you this morning to say thank you because many of us have been through some trials, some tribulations, some ups and some downs. And Master, we even heard this morning from a sister who'd been through a tragic accident, but yet and still your grace and your mercy were there present for her. As you kept her, we know you can keep us. As you deliver her, we know you can deliver us. As you improved her life, we know you can improve ours. Master, we come this morning to say thank you because there is no other God like you. You are the all-powerful, the all-knowing, the all-seeing, and the all-capable, Master. So we offer up you some praise this morning because we know who you are. And because we know who you are, we know who we are. So thank you, Master, for being our God. Thank you for being the power in our life that never ceases. Anytime we find ourselves in a situation, we can count on you. Master, when we are falling, you will lift us up. When we are blind, you will open up our eyes. And when we can't hear, you will open up our ears. And when we need to speak, you will open up our mouths and speak for us. Master, we come to say thank you. Oh, what a God you are. You are simply wonderful. You are simply awesome. We come this morning to offer up you these words of thanks. It's in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. We ask now that the officer come for the purpose of tithing and offering.
The Lord is blessing me right now, right now. I said the Lord is blessing me right now, oh, right now. He woke me up this morning and started me on my way. The Lord is blessing me, oh, right now. The Lord is blessing me right now, right now. I say the Lord blessing me right now, right now. He woke me up this morning and started me on my way. The Lord is blessing me right now. He woke me up this morning. I was clothed in my right mind. He didn't let me sleep too late. He woke me
this morning, Master, say thank you now for these gifts that have been given here today. And we pray, Master, that we use them the way that you see fit so that the world will know that you, yes, still have all power. It's in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray. Let our hearts say amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Only rest is see your time.
Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. I told you. Amen. Y'all didn't know it when he was up. I said, yeah, they'll probably show it right before I get ready to preach. Amen. Amen. Y'all didn't know y'all pastor had the gift of prophecy, did you? Amen. 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 God is good. Amen. 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 They didn't realize they were getting a gift. Amen. Amen. Y'all missed the presentation and everything. Amen. Amen. We'll talk at the door later on. Amen. Amen. God is good. Amen. Say we'll take another picture later. Okay. Amen. Amen. I got to get myself together now. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. Verses 28 through 30. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. And it reads, "Come unto me, Lord have mercy, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find, Lord have mercy, rest upon, shall I say, unto your souls." And then verse 30 says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Amen. Amen. Just for a few moments, I'd like to talk with you from the subject, what an invitation. What an invitation. And my proposition to you is this: it is imperative that we respond appropriately and promptly to God's invitations. I'm going to say that one more time. It is imperative that we respond first appropriately and promptly to God's invitations. Saints of God, I want to open this sermon today by asking a couple of questions. Did you receive your invitation? And then, did you RSVP? Let me say that again. It's funny because I talked to somebody here today about RSVP. She had no idea that she was all in my sermon. But we have to realize that God offers us invitations. And it's imperative for us to appropriately and promptly respond to God's invitations. And we know now that we live now in a society that the RSVP is just as important as the invitation. You may get an invitation and you may not respond. But I tell you, if you get this invitation, you better respond. And you better respond quickly. Don't hesitate. Don't wait. Don't question it. When God sends you an invitation, the best thing for you to do is go ahead and respond back to God. You know how we are. Today, you know, we take into consideration who's the inviter. You know, we want to know why we are being invited. And if it's a birthday celebration, we want to know what the theme is and if the theme is something that we're willing to participate in. And if we consider them to be someone that's not really that important to us, we take our time about responding. Or maybe we just don't respond at all. But then if we figure them to be someone who is important in our lives or who holds an important place in this world, the first thing we do is respond. And not only do we respond, we'll call them to make sure they got our response. I tell you today that you better consider when God respond you to send you an invitation, you better respond, and you better respond quickly. He's like no other. And his invitations are like no other. When you receive an invitation from God, you should be someone who understands that God is the most powerful person in your life. He's not to be played with. He's not to be questioned. When God speaks, you ought to just say, "Yes, sir." How high do you want me to jump? When do you want me to jump? Where do you want me to go? How do you want me to do it? And don't even ask how he's going to provide for you to do it. Just go ahead and do it. Because if God invites you to do something, you have to understand he's already made all the provisions for you. But it's important for you to respond. You must RSVP. You know how we are, and there's nobody else in here but black people. So let me jump on my soapbox for just a quick second. You know how we are when it comes to RSVP. Black folks, we'll wait till the very last minute to respond back to you. And then when we respond to you, we act like there was nothing wrong with us taking all day to respond back to you. And that you ought to be appreciative of us responding at all. Well, I'm going to tell you this, when it comes to God, that does not sit well with him. Don't wait till the last moment to respond to God. And when you respond to him, don't act like he ought to appreciate you responding to him. Because let me help you understand something. God don't need you to respond. As a matter of fact, God don't need you. He is the blessing in your life. You're not the blessing in his life. Somebody better understand what I'm trying to tell you, because when God calls your name, you need to answer. When God speaks to you, you need to respond. Or as we say, you need to RSVP. This word RSVP comes from the French, and basically it was something that the elite of the French would use. You know, you had to be of a certain class, you know, for them to send you an invitation with an RSVP. You know, when I was preparing this lesson, I thought about it. When my family was broke and we had no money, we didn't care nothing about RSVP. Because if someone in the family called you for a party, they weren't going to send you an invitation with an RSVP. They'll just call you and tell you the date and expect for you to show up. And not only expect for you to show up, but expect for you to bring a plate of something, at least some potato salad. Because they knew that once you got there and the party was over, you were going to take half of the food back home with you. So they really didn't care about sending you an invitation with an RSVP. They knew what you were going to do. But now that my family has, as we say, arrived, we've gotten to a different level. Now we RSVP. We expect for you to call us and give us a head count, because that party is going to cost a certain amount of money per person who is there, because we were no longer going to do the works. They weren't expecting you to bring a plate. They weren't expecting you to help out. They were doing it. We were going to do it all ourselves. So we need for you to RSVP, because they're spending a certain amount of money for you to be there. Well, thank God our God is not like that. Huh? You don't have to be of high society. You don't have to have the appropriate education. You don't have to be someone who people consider to be special. God says he just needs for you to respond to his invitation. This invitation is for everyone. It don't matter where you are in life, no matter where you come from. It doesn't matter who your family is. It doesn't matter how much money is in your bank account. When he sends you an invitation, all he needs for you is a response. He doesn't care where you come from. All he cares about what's in your heart. And I don't want you to get confused thinking I'm talking about God inviting you to the kingdom of God. Okay? This is for the saints that have already accepted their calling into the kingdom. Because I want you to understand that the invitation didn't just stop with your calling into the kingdom. God's invitation is an open invitation. You know how it is. Sometimes we have those friends that we love so much, they can come by anytime they get ready. They don't have to even call you. They have an open invitation. But God wants you to know that once you became his child, that his invitation to you is an open invitation. There's no restrictions on it. There's no limitations on it. There's no stoppage to it. As long as you live, his invitation is open. And when we look here at this text, we see a particular invitation. It's one that's not exclusive, or shall I say, it's one that's inclusive. And because a lot of times we exclude people when we send out invitations. But when God sends out invitation, it includes everyone. No matter how you view yourself, or how people may view you. When God sends out an invitation, it's for us all. And in verse 28, he says, come unto me, all, Lord have mercy, ye that labor and are heavy laden. It's amazing that this is the only time in the Bible that we see God use this combination of words. That's interesting. When you talk about a God who's always open for your invitation, who's always willing for you to come. He wanted to make it specific that you understand that it is important to know that as a laborer, he's there for you. What you mean, Reverend? For all of us who at some point in our lives get tired. All of us who get weary from carrying burdens. Because sometimes we carry burdens that we ought not to be carrying. It's amazing when you talk to folks and you find out a lot of times people are carrying stuff that God never built you to carry. And sometimes we get so wrapped up in our lives and living that we forget about who God is in our lives. And we start taking on stuff that we ought not to take on. We start connecting ourselves to stuff we ought not to connect ourselves to, because that stuff is not built for you to carry. Sometimes we try to carry the weight of our friends. Sometimes God don't intend for you to carry their weight. As a matter of fact, sometimes they're weak because you are carrying their weight, and they need to carry their own weight. If you pay attention to a bodybuilder, bodybuilders don't get strong by not lifting. They build muscles by lifting. But they build a certain type of weight for them. And they lift weights a certain type of way. And when they build it a certain type of way, they can get the results that they are looking for. But if their friend is lifting for them and they're never lifting, then how can they become a bodybuilder? What I'm trying to say to you, how can you become mature, spiritually mature, if you don't carry the weight that's intended for you? If your friend is carrying your weight, then you will never find out what your power is. And some of us are creating weak people because we are carrying too much weight.
We're strong, but they're weak. And then we try to get an understanding as to why are they so weak? Why are they always bending and crying? Why are they always weeping and complaining? The reason is because you are carrying their weight. I know you say, well, Reverend, you've been a little hard today. Well, let me tell you, sometimes God is hard. I'm about to lose one of my sisters. She's on the verge of death. And they called us and told us to get prepared. They was trying to figure out if they're going to leave her on the machine or take her off the machine. Because she's gotten to the stage where there's nothing else left to do. But when she and her sons were living the life they were living, I would pray for them, and God asked me to stop praying. He said, because as long as you pray, you're holding my hands. If you stop praying, I can do what I need to do so they can become strong. Sometimes we are the reason why someone else is not strong, because you are carrying their burdens. And then you find yourself getting tired. And when you get tired, you get weary. And when you get weary, you get weak. And when you get weak, your own burdens are too heavy for you. And Jesus is saying here, if you are tired of carrying burdens, he said, bring them to me. Lord, have mercy. Somebody ought to be shouting here today, because somebody is carrying a whole lot of burdens today. And Jesus said, if you cast those burdens on me, he said, I will make your way a little bit lighter. I'll make your way a little bit easier. As a matter of fact, you can run a little bit longer, because now I'm carrying and waiting. And you don't have to carry them anymore. Anybody here carry burdens? You don't even have to tell me that you carry burdens. Because just by my conversation with some of y'all, I know you're burden carriers. That's why God put this message on my heart. Because some of y'all are carrying burdens you ought not to be carrying. God's trying to tell you, let go. Let go. Let go. I know it's tough, and I know it's hard, but sometimes you have to do the hard thing. Remember when that boy came to Jesus and he said, Master, I want to be with you, but let me go and bury my father. And Jesus' reply was, let the dead bury the dead. He wasn't being insensitive. He was just trying to let him know that there's something more purposeful in your life that you need to do. But when you carry someone else's burdens, you can't get there. Sometimes we just have to let go. I learned a long time that as a young man, I have few friends but a whole bunch of associates. I had to let my associates go, because they was too heavy for me to carry. Let me share this with you, life application. If you are someone in a relationship with somebody else, and you're the person who has to always reach out to the other person, they never reach out to you, that's not your friend. That is your associate, which means they know you by association. They don't know you by intimacy. When I say that, I'm talking about a relationship that's built by God. They know you because they've seen you, or you've been in the same place. So they know you, and they know that you have a good spirit. So they attach themselves to you so that you can help them carry their burdens. They'll dump their burdens on you, and then you'll be trying to figure out, why are you so tired? Why are you woke out? Why are you so emotional? Why you can't do the stuff you need to do? Why you are so confused? The reason why is because you're carrying burdens that you shouldn't be carrying. Because God didn't build you to carry their burdens. He built you to carry the ones that he intends for you to carry. And then he built you to share those same burdens that he intends for you to carry with him. So that your way can be a little bit easier. So that your way can be a little bit lighter. So that the world wouldn't be able to press you down. But many of us are pressed down because we are doing stuff we ought not to be doing. I know you say you love them. I know you say you care about them, but if you really loved them and you really cared about them, you'll let them carry their own weight, because your weight is already heavy enough. And Jesus said, if you come unto me with your burdens, come unto me with your cares, he says, I will help you carry your burdens. He said, as a matter of fact, you can cast them on me. Psalms 55 and 22 says this, cast thy burdens upon the Lord. Lord, have mercy. And he shall sustain thee. Now, if you didn't hear me say cast your burdens and your friends' burdens and your family members' burdens and other folks' burdens who you don't even know that well, but for some reason you carry their burdens too, and when folks talk to you, now you all emotional because you got all this weight on you. You're trying to figure out how you get rid of it. Jesus said, bring your burdens to me and I will sustain thee. Why are we carrying someone else's weight? I don't know, because if you're like me, my weight is heavy enough. I think I said this to you all once before. Sometimes I feel like Marvin Gaye. I just want to throw my hands up and holler, because I can feel the weight on me, and I'm talking about my own weight I got to carry. I can't carry someone else's weight. And then in Psalm 55 and 22, he says, he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And if that's not good enough for you, 1 Peter 5 and 7 says this, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. He actually wants you to cast your cares on him. He actually wants you to place your concerns in his hands. Sometimes we get caught up in stuff because of our pride. You know, the world got that new thing now. I'm 10 toes down. Well, sometimes when you're 10 toes down, you ought not to be 10 toes down. Because God needs for you to give that situation to him. And then our children are talking about, I'm standing on business. Sometimes you don't need to stand on business. Sometimes you need to let God handle that thing, because all you're going to do is mess it up. Because you're not prepared for it. It's not something you ought to be even involved in. You got to recognize when God needs for you to give your cares to him. I've learned to start praying before I deal with certain situations. And I ask God, give me what I need to say in this situation. Remove my pride out of me and place in me your spirit, so when I open up my mouth and speak, it'll be you speaking and not me. Because if you speak, everything changes and get better. If I speak, everything gets worse and more messed up. So I need for you to carry this situation for me, because I can't handle it by myself. What an invitation He invites you to share with him your burden. He invites you to bring him your anxieties. He invites you to bring him your struggles. He invites you to bring him your fears. He invites you to bring him your hang-ups. He invites you to bring him your strongholds. What an awesome God. He invites you to bring unto him the things that no one else wants you to bring to them. None of your friends want you to bring them your troubles. You call them in the middle of the night, they'll see your name on the phone like, I ain't talking tonight. I know what they want to talk about, and I don't feel like dealing with it. I'll talk to them in the morning. Well, when you bring it to Jesus, he answers every time. Not only do he answer every time, but he has a resolution for your issue. He actually wants you to bring him the things that you can't handle. He wants you to bring him the hard stuff. He wants you to bring him what we consider to be impossible, because he is a God who can handle everything. And children, as I close, let me say, when you hear God say, come to me, know that he's inviting you to a better way. He's calling you from having to carry your heavy load. He wants you to come away from your heartache. He wants you to steer away from confusion. He wants to deliver you from your sins. He wants to help you through your storms. As a matter of fact, when I look back in the Bible, I see when the disciples were out on the sea and a raging storm came up in their life, and it was so mighty they were all fearful. But Peter looked off in the distance and saw Jesus. And he said, Lord, if it be you, bid me to come to you. And what did Jesus say? Jesus said, come. When Jesus said, come in your life, he gives you the power to walk on your storms. When Jesus said, come in your life, he gives you power to handle what you normally can't handle. When Jesus said, come in your life, he gives you everything you need to make it through your trials, to make it through your tribulations, to make it through your valleys. In time, he says, come. He gives you everything you need by taking away your burdens. Give God a hand clap of praise. The doors of the church are now open, if there would be one. The Bible says to find God while he is near, for surely shall come a time when God cannot be found. The doors of my Father's house are now open.
In the Lord until I die.
Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. Church, we have to start listening for God to talk to us. Because you know what? God is always talking to us. The question is, are you listening? And when you hear him speak, are you receptive to what he has to say? Because sometimes we ignore him purposely, thinking that God does not know that we are ignoring him. I want you to know that anytime he sends you an invitation, he knows if you're ignoring him or if you will even respond. You know, we have this saying that, you know, when the feds come for you, they already have a case. They don't come to you to build a case. They already have a case. When God sends you an invitation, he already knows. So when God speaks, you need to listen. And not only do you need to listen, but you need to respond to what he is saying. Amen. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Our Father God, we come to you today to say thank you, Master, for these words that you have shared with us today. And we pray, Master, that we are better because of it. We pray, Master, that because we heard from you, that we can go out into this world that's in need of you and share with the world that's dying life. You are life. You are everything that we need. And if we share you with them, they will have everything they need. We pray now as we prepare to leave this place that you watch over us, protect us and guide us and keep us until we can return again to this place where you have chosen to place your name. It's in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name we pray. Let every heart say amen.